Thank you very much for coming. May our learning be a merit. Lili Nishmas, Meira Chaya, Nechama Bracha, Lea Shalom, Bastavid Mordechai Sheyichya, Katie Fischel of blessed memory. And we are learning Masechet Bechoros. The very end of Masechet Bechoros deals with the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. That is, that a rancher or anybody who owns animals has animals born in 1 year, and then the animals are gathered to one spot, as we learned yesterday. There is a mitzvah to count them out, paint the 10th one, and render the 10th one Maaser Behema, which is then brought as a sacrifice and eaten by the owner. And if it has a blemish, it can be eaten by the owner without first bringing it as a sacrifice. All right, let's start again with the Mishnah on Nun Hey Amud Beis. Today's daf is daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah teaches, Halokeach, if somebody purchases an animal, Oshenitlo Matana, or an animal that was given to him as a gift, Patri Meiser Behema, he doesn't have to separate the tenth and dedicate the tenth as Maaser Behema. Maaser Behema only applies to the person who owns the flock and it's born within his flock, not to the foundlings, not to the young animals that he purchased this year or that were given to him as a gift this year. Says the Gemara Minani Mili, how do we know this? That it's only animals born and not animals purchased or gifted. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana explained, Amar Karkas, the Pasuk links Maaser Behema to Bechor. Bechor Adam. The verse says, Bechor Banecha Titein Li. The firstborn son of yours, give to me. That's the law of Pidyon HaBen, that you need to redeem the firstborn boy when he's 30 days old by giving 5 shekel to a Kohen. And then the Pasuk that talks about Pidyon HaBen continues to say, Kein Taaseh, so you shall do, L'Sharcha, for your ox, L'Tzonecha, and for your sheep. So there's a linkage between what you're doing with your animals to what you do with your firstborn son. So therefore, here's the lesson that we derive from that linkage, starting today's daf now. Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Ma Banecha Im B'Lakoch V'Matana. Just like there's no concept of Pidyon HaBen with you bought a boy was given to you as a gift. There's no such thing. You know, boys aren't given as gifts, boys aren't sold. It's the boy that's born to you that you need to give Pidyon HaBen from. You need to give the 5 shekels Pidyon HaBen. So Aftzonecho V'Charecha, so too the law of the rest of the Pasuk, your sheep and your cattle, Enu B'Lakuach, doesn't apply to that which was purchased, U'B'Matana, or that which was given to you as a gift. Ask the Gemara, 1 second. We're talking about Maaser Behema. This Pasuk is not talking about Maaser Behema, presumably. It's talking about different types of Bechor. Bechor Adam and Bechor Behema Tahora. A Bechor of a person and a Bechor of a kosher animal. So ask the Gemara, but 1 second, this verse is written about Bechor. It's not written about Maaser Behema. So the Gemara says, no, it's really referring to Maaser Behema. Amar Kra, the verse says, Kein Taaseh L'Sharcha L'Tzonecha. So you shall do. Now, Bechor doesn't have any doing. When the baby's born, as Jason says so correctly, right? The Rechem, the womb itself, consecrates the baby. You don't need to do something. But here it talks about doing something. So doing can't be referring to Bechor. Must be referring to the doing of painting the tenth animal, namely the Maaser Behema. Kein Taaseh, so I mean even the Bechor. So if that can't apply to Bechor, to Lo Iseh Ba'asiyah, because there is no doing in Bechor, to Berechem Kadosh, because you don't need to do anything, you don't need to make it holy, it's already holy from being in the womb, from opening the womb. So therefore this verse of talking about Kein Taaseh, doing, must be Tzneu Inyan L'Maaser Behema, must be applying to Maaser Behema, and therefore the verse is talking about the tenth animal, which is Maaser Behema, and it's linking the tenth animal to Bechor Adam, and therefore, where do we learn? Just like Bechor Adam doesn't apply to Matana and to Lakuach, to a gift, or to a purchased, so to Maaser Behema doesn't apply So a gift or a purchase.
I thought
yes.
The tenth animal is random. Am I confused?
Sure. It's random within your animals that were born to you.
Oh,
random
ones that you receive.
I thought you line them up and you count to the tenth.
You do.
So what are you doing? You shall do.
You shall do? Well, you're counting and painting the tenth. That's the doing.
Oh.
And your painting of the tenth is what makes it holy.
When it comes out of the...
comes through the line. But Bechor, you don't need to do anything. It was holy as Bechor because of its birth.
So Rabbi, if you have nine animals...
Yes.
And you get one matana, now you have ten.
No Ma'aser Behema.
Then no Behema.
No Ma'aser Behema. So now the Gemara says, well, if the reason why you know that this verse, which excludes purchase or gift, is because of the word taseh, why don't you say that this verse is not referring to Ma'aser Behema, but to the doing of consecrating an animal as a karban chatas, or consecrating an animal as a karban asham, and because there you need to consecrate them, you need to make them a chatas, make them an asham, and say that you can only make a chatas and an asham from animals that are born to you, not from animals that are gifted to you, because you compare it to Bechor Adam. So Gemara says, no, because the pasuk is linking this type of animal with your son. Just like your son's service, the pigeon aben, has nothing to do with the sin. So to this law about your sheep and of your cattle, it's something which has nothing to do with sin. Still, if you're the only source because of it, words ta'aseh, why don't you see the ta'aseh as a reference to a sacrifice which is an ola sacrifice, a gift, a shlamim sacrifice, and say that they have to be like the Bechor Adam, and just like the Bechor Adam is can't be, you know, a gift or something purchased, so to the Ola animal or the Shlamim animal that you consecrate has to be something that you had born to you and not something that you had as a gift. So again, because that's not coming for a sin. So Gemara says again, no, it can't be referring to that. It has to be, again, something comparable to your son. Just like the gift of your son is not something which is something that you could donate, a neder donation or a nedava donation. So to the rest of the verse, talking about your sheep and your cattle, is sheep and cattle, if it's not something which you could donate, Ma'aser Behema, again, it's not something you can donate. It's the tenth. You can't say, oh, I'm donating all of them to be Ma'aser Behema. Behema still, maybe the verse is referring to Ola Sri'iyah. Ola Sri'iyah is the carbon Ola brought on Yom Tov as the Ola Sri'iyah. That's also something you can't, you know, just donate in the middle of the year. I'm donating an Ola Sri'iyah. Again, no, it's not referring to that, because again, the verse is comparing it to something which is like your son. Your son, it's not that your son is only born in, you know, Sukkot, Pesach, or Shavuos. Your son is, it can be born anytime. So too, the ox and the sheep that are referred to here are Shein Kavua Lozman, is about something which is not set with a particular time, so it can't be referring to Olas Re'iyah, which is only at a certain time. So one second. All right, so bottom line, we've resolved the question, right? We've resolved the source. This is the source for our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if you buy an animal, if you were gifted an animal, it doesn't become part of the group that is Ma'aser Behema. What's the source? Because the Torah compares pigeon aben to something with oxen and sheep, to something that you're doing with oxen and sheep. So what do you do with oxen and sheep? Well, you consecrate the tenth as Ma'aser Behema. So it's saying that just like with pigeon aben, it doesn't apply to a purchase or a sale, a purchase or a gift, so to Ma'aser Behema doesn't apply to a purchase and a gift. Why don't we say that doing is referring to something else? Well, this is what fits into the parallel best. Okay, so now asks the Gemara, if that's the case, so you're saying that if there was an animal that was purchased or an animal that was gifted, there's no Ma'aser Behema, but it's not really true. If you're comparing to pigeon aben, why don't we say with your son in ubilakuach klal? There's no such thing as a purchased son being you needing to redeem a purchased son. So afshor chavitzonecha. So if we're comparing it to Ma'aser Behema, we should say Ma'aser Behema also in ubilakuach klal. There's no such thing as a purchased animal becoming added to the pen and having Ma'aser Behema on it. But Alama Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yochanan. But why then did Rabbi Asi say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Laka chasara ubrim b'me'iman. If you purchase 10 animals that are still inside the stomach of their mothers, you purchase 10 fetuses when they're still inside their mother's stomach, and then when they're born right away, they belong to you. Kulum nichnasim l'dir l'asaser. They are obligated in maaser b'hema. You have to put them into the pen, and you need to take out the tenth and paint it, and use it as maaser b'hema. Why? If there's a pasuk exempting the sold and the gifted, this is also sold. So Amar Rava, Rava answered, Amar Kaka, because the pasuk that said spoke about taaseh, v'chein taaseh, right? So you shall do to your ox and your sheep, doing. So at b'shas asi, at the time of doing, namely once it's born, mi'irat kasa, the Torah is excluding if it was sold or gifted. But before the time of doing, namely when it's still inside the womb, then gifting and selling doesn't get excluded. So therefore, if you purchased animals that were still in the womb, when they are born, they're obligated in maaser behema. All right, so now we'll talk about that halacha. Gufa, we just learned before. Am Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi told the name of Rav Yochanan. Laka chasara ubrin. Even the Mishnah says that if you buy animals, you get animals as a gift, they're not obligated to maaser behema. If you purchase 10 fetus animals, bimei iman, in the wombs of their mothers, all of them are put into the pen, and you need to separate maaser behema from them. Didn't we learn in a Mishnah? Halakuach, an animal that was purchased. Or an animal given to him as a gift. Our Mishnah, patamina maaser behema, is exempt from maaser behema. So why is it if it was purchased? Why is Rabbi Yochanan saying that if it was purchased when it was a fetus, it is obligated in maaser behema? Our Mishnah says an animal that's purchased is exempt from maaser behema. So he answers the Gemara, the lesson that we just learned. But before, it tells us a little bit of a story about it. Amar Belazar said, Rabbi Yochanan chazoi b'chilma. Rabbi Yochanan came to me in a dream. I was dreaming and I saw Rabbi Yochanan. So I prepared this Gemara. Yesterday I had a dream. I dreamed about Shiva. Rabbi Yochanan chazoi b'chilma. I saw Rabbi Yochanan in a dream. So therefore I knew Milsa ma'al yamina. I'm going to say a great Dvar Torah now. I'm going to say a great explanation in Rabbi Yochanan. If I saw him in a dream, I'm going to say something to explain him in a beautiful way. All right, what's the great explanation of Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Kra, the verse that excludes the purchased and the gifted is because the verse compares doing with an animal to b'chor. So doing, Amar Kra, Tase, the verse says you shall do for your ox and your cattle and for your sheep. At the time when you could be doing, that's when the Torah is excluding that which is purchased or gifted. So doing is only once it's out, because once it's out, then you could count them out, and when you count to the tenth, then you can consecrate it. But when it's still inside the womb, there's nothing to do with it. You can't do anything yet. You can't, pass it tachas hashavet. It's still inside the womb. So then there is no exclusion.
Did you say gifted, purchased, and gifted?
Yeah, something which is given as a gift, or if you bought it.
I thought the gifted doesn't count. The one you get gift
doesn't count to be obligated in maaser behema. You don't make one of it. You don't add it to the maaser behema group.
Okay, now Rabbi, if one of these animals is really blemished,
yes, still could be maaser behema.
Still, you count them as a maaser behema. Like three legs, he has one leg missing.
Doesn't matter. And if it's the tenth, then you can slaughter it right away. Then you can slaughter it right away.
But how could you slaughter? It's not a kosher slaughter to slaughter a blemished animal.
You're saying a treifa even?
It's right. A treifa, of course.
Right.
It's
even
treifa,
also,
no?
I think also, yeah.
If it's missing four legs, if
the
owner has the choice to
give. Well, it has to cross through.
Say that you're going or something.
But if the animal,
it has to walk somewhat.
If the guy has a choice of taking which animals, then he has a totally.
No, he doesn't have a choice. He can't liberate it. He can't, rig it. He has to. Yeah. Has to see what comes out. Lo yivaker bein tov lo ra. The verse says he can't choose between the good and the bad. He can't choose the bad ones.
Which,
exactly.
Then which one do you get when you take maaser behema?
He has to put all the animals together and count them out The tenth one is the one painted that becomes the Maaser Behemah.
Can't you just make that the tenth
one? No. All right, Isver, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim challenged Rabbi Elazar. We learned in a Braisa, Halakuach, the concept of purchased and thereby not being obligated to Maaser Behemah. Chal al mechusar zman takes effect on that which is not yet old enough. In other words, it's within its first 7 days, and it's not yet old enough to be a carbon, because you can only have a carbon once the animal is 8 days old. So it takes effect. If it was purchased when the animal is 3 days old, this animal now doesn't become Maaser Behemah. Aye, when it's 3 days old, it's not bar asiyah. You can't do anything to it. You couldn't consecrate it yet. Amalei, so you said, Zuhayna Mishnah. I disagree with that braisa. If you purchased the animal when it was 3 days old, it would be obligated in Maaser Behemah. If you're going to say Mishnah that there is such a braisa, that an animal purchased when it's 3 days old is exempt from Maaser Behemah. You know what? It's Rabbi Shimon Yehudi. It's only the view of Rabbi Shimon Yehuda who said, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, the name of Rabbi Shimon. He said, Mechusar Zman, an animal that's not yet old enough to be a karban, Nichnas Ladir Lihis Aser, still put into the pen and counted out to be Maaser Behemah. It's like a bechor. Ma bechor, just like a bechor. Kadosh lufnei zmano. The bechor, when it's born, is holy, but you still can't offer it as a karban. It has to be 8 days old. All things have to be 8 days old to be offered as a karban. Karev l'achar zmano. It'll be holy right away, but it'll be brought later. Af mechusar zman. So to an animal that is, let's say, 3 days old, it's put into the pen. Kadosh lufnei zmano. It could be made the tenth. Before it's 8 days old, it could be holy, even though karev le'achar zman, it will only be brought after it's 8 days old.
Rabbi, besides Hashem, tomorrow when Beit HaMikdash is built,
yes,
we have to go through all these things again.
Yeah. Right? All these laws are coming back.
They're all only in everything.
Yeah. Well. It's all coming back. Besides Hashem. All right. So now we get into the issue of Esnan. Esnan is a special mitzvah in the Torah that a sheep that was given to a prostitute as her wage. So let's say there's a man, unfortunately, he can't control his urges, and he goes to a prostitute to have intercourse with her, and she says, what are you going to pay me? He says, I'm going to give you a sheep. So he has the intercourse, and then he gives her the sheep because she had intercourse with him for the sheep. So now that sheep is disqualified from being a korban, Esnan. Can't be used as a carbon. That which was a payment for a prostitute cannot be used as a carbon. Yes, so it's disgusting. Now it can't be used as a carbon. That's the mitzvah of the Torah. So we're going to see today's daf that there is an opinion that only applies to a non-Jewish prostitute. If he gave the sheep to a Jewish prostitute, it could be used as a carbon. Okay, we're going to see that. So now, we're going to talk now about Esnan. Tani Tana Kamei de Rav. There was a Tana who taught in front of Rav. We learned in a braisa. Ezeu Esnan. What would be a scenario of Esnan, namely a sheep giving his wage to a prostitute? Shenichnas ledir lis aser. Nevertheless, it still would be obligated in Maaser Behemah. You would put it into the pen and give the tenth as Maaser. It would be the case like this. Kol shenas nula. He gave to the prostitute the sheep. V'chazar v'lakhu emena. Then he turned around and he bought it back from the prostitute. All right, so that's what he said about Esnan. Ask the Gemara. But in light of our Mishnah, that the purchase doesn't have Maaser Behemah, for if Salebel Okeach, once it was purchased, there should be no law of Maaser Behemah. And so the Gemara Shtamitte, Hadam Ravasi and Rabbi Yochanan, he was missing what Ravasi said, the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Lakach Asara Ubrim B'mei Iman, if he buys fetuses that are still in their mother's stomach, then they would be obligated in Maaser Behemah. So that's the case. The man goes to the prostitute. She says, what are you going to pay me? He says, I have a pregnant cow. The fetus inside the cow is going to be your wage. He does the act with her. Then she says, okay, so pay up. So he does a chalipin with her to transfer the fetus inside the pregnant cow to her. And then he says, you know what, let me buy that fetus back. He then pays her money to buy the fetus back. And now the fetus is born. So since the purchase happened when it was still a fetus, it's a purchase of prior to the time of doing. A purchase, as we've been saying all morning, prior to the time of doing, does not exempt. And that's the chiddush here of this price, so that Esnan is not exempted from Maser Behema. What's that? Yes, just with the Uber. Yes, so one second. So now the Gemara asks, turn to the Bava and Beis. So why do we need him to buy it back? Let the woman, the prostitute, who gets the esnan, who gets this fetus as a payment, let her give this fetus as maser behema. Answers the Gemara, Vizona Nachris. The prostitute's not Jewish. The prostitute's not Jewish. So she doesn't have an obligation of maser behema. But look, Mabazoni Israelis. So ask the Gemara, why do you say the prostitute's not Jewish? Tell us this law with a prostitute who is Jewish. Vite Asra E. And let her give this fetus that she got as Maser Behema. So the reason why we taught this whole halacha was to tell you that the whole concept of Esnan only applies to non-Jewish prostitutes. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush of Rav was, the Brisa that was taught in front of Rav, the Zona Yisraelis Lohavi Esnan. We're going to get to this in a couple of Masechtos soon, Maseches Tmura. There's an argument, where does this law of Esnan apply? And Rav and this Brisa are holding that Esnan only applies to the wage, namely to the sheep that was given to a Gentile prostitute. It doesn't apply to a sheep given to a Jewish prostitute. So a sheep, correct, a sheep given to a Jewish prostitute can be offered as a carbon. What was the source? Kid Abayit.
Why would you be considered lokeach?
It is lokeach.
Well, lokeach is exempt from...
right, but it says an ubar. A fetus.
As
a fetus, though, it is obligated, right? Because the only time lokeach is exempt is from ta'aseth, from the doing. But once it's a fetus, it's obligated. So again, how do we know that? The source of that is Kida Abaye. That is as Abaye taught us. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Zona Nachris, if a Jew Nebuch goes to a Gentile prostitute and he pays her for her services with a sheep, Esnana, that sheep that was paid to her, Aser, cannot be offered as a carbon. In addition, the Kohen Abba Leha, if it's a Kohen who's going to this prostitute and he has intercourse with this Gentile prostitute, Eino Loke, he's not going to get Malkus. And the reason why is Mishum, because the Pasuk says about a Kohen and the prohibited relations, Lo Yechalil Zaro, he should not desecrate his seed. His seed. But here, it's not going to be his seed, because the child of a Jew with a Gentile is a Gentile. So it's not going to be called his seed. However, Zona Yisraelis, if there's a Jewish woman who's a prostitute, Nebuch, Esnana, if a man goes and has relations with her, and then he pays her with a sheep, Mutter, that Esnan is permitted to be a carbon. Kohen Abaleh, if a Kohen would have relations with her, Loke, he would get lashes, Mishum Lo Yechalel, Zaro, because that is his seed, and he's desecrating his seed, so he would get lashes. And now the Gemara explains the reason for Abaye. Zona Nachris, if a man, Nebuch, goes to a Gentile prostitute and he has relations with her, then he pays her with a sheep, Esnana Aser, that sheep is what's prohibited as Esnan, based on a Gzeira Shava. Gamar To'eva To'eva. The Torah calls the act of Esnan an abomination. And the Torah calls the prohibited relations in the end of Parshas Achremos, in the end of Parshas Kedoshim, as abominations. So when the Torah says that a man who sleeps with his sister, it's an abomination, that's a prohibition, that's a chiyuv kares. Is there tfisas kedushin? Could a man give a ring to his sister and say, "I'm a kodesh asleep"? No. So that means that Esnan, since it's also called To'eva, Esnan only applies in those scenarios where there's no tfisas kedushin, where there's no possibility of making a marriage. Now, with a Gentile, there's no tfisas kedushin. But if there's a Jewish woman who's nebuch a prostitute, if he were to give her a ring and say, "Arayim u'kodesh asli," she is married to him. So where there's the possibility of tfisas kedushin, there's no law of esnan. So ma'arayos lo tafsi bu kedushi, just like the prohibited relations, the arayos are so prohibited that you can't even have Kiddushin. Avzona, so the Zona that is included in To'eva, that has the law of Esnan, that the wage given to her can't be a karban, is Bahakas in this type of a Zona, the Lotafsi Ba Kiddushi, where there is no Tfisas Kiddushin. Then another law of the Braisa taught, the Kohen Abala, if a Kohen has relations with this Gentile Zona, either doesn't get lashes, because when does he get lashes if he's violating the mandate, lo yechalel zaro, he shall not desecrate his seed. The lo yechalel zaro amar rachmana, Hashem said he shall not desecrate his seed. Bahai, and if he's with a Gentile, lav zareyu, it's not going to be his seed, it's her seed, because a Jew is a Gentile, the child is no longer a Jew, the child is a Gentile, so it's not his seed. So because we wanted to teach you this halacha, that the law of Esnan only applies with a Gentile, that's why we chose to say that when would there be, but we're also saying that Esnan does not disqualify from Maaser Behema. So what is the case of Esnan that ends up being Maaser Behema? It's when a Jew was Nebuch with a Gentile, he paid her with a fetus, and then he bought the fetus back. Since he bought the fetus back when it was still a fetus, the purchase did not exempt it from Maaser Behema. Since it, being an Esnan doesn't exempt from Maaser Behema, but had he bought it back after it was born, it would already be an Esnan, and then the purchase would make it exempt from Maaser Behema if it was purchased once it was born. And the point here is that if he didn't purchase it back and it was just born with her, then it would be an Esnan. She couldn't offer it as a karban. It couldn't be used as a shlamim or an ola if he bought it from them. Because the whole concept of Esnan only applies with a Gentile prostitute, according to Abaye. One second, a question. Roger had a question.
So a Kohen with a Gentile, that child is not considered his child?
Correct. Any Jew with a Gentile, the child's not his child.
Is that child considered an orphan?
No, the child's not Jewish.
No, I know not Jewish, but he's still the father, right?
Not halachically.
But he's not a mamzer.
Not a mamzer.
No.
He's not Jewish.
But the Kohen now gets lashes if he's with a non-Jew prostitute?
Nope.
No
doesn't
lashes.
Lashes. No. But, I mean, he doesn't get lashes for kahuna. I mean, it could be lashes for
the
prostitution.
So he has no responsibility to the child?
It's a moral responsibility, but not a halachic one.
I don't know.
Yeah, question, is he?
I'm saying, we don't have a problem with the Rashi of Bala Olam here. We're doing all of this transaction.
No, apparently, because the fetus is here. The fetus is inside the womb. Not that it will be yours once it will be born. It belongs to them now.
But how about if the prostitute converts?
Yeah.
So the baby automatically become a Jew?
No, the baby would have to do its own conversion. Not Jewish.
But that baby is not a Kohen.
Certainly not a Kohen.
It's not a Kohen.
No,
baby.
Convert can't be a Kohen, no.
But if a Kohen was with a Jewish prostitute, she's ascertained, right?
That's usher to him. He doesn't have air.
So there's still Kedushin.
There would be Kedushin, yeah. He could marry her. Kedushin would take effect. It's an Aveira.
So that would be with a non-Jewish prostitute.
For a Kohen. For a Kohen, it's better.
Rabbi, this whole discussion is because a non-Jewish person can be a korban.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you could buy it back. A Jew could buy it from her. It's still disqualified as Esnan.
Yeah.
What was paid to the Gentile prostitute is Esnan, and if a Jew buys it, it can't be used as a carbon anymore. All right, so now we're going to go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going to deal with the fact that partners, certain scenarios of partners are exempt from Maaser Behema, and other scenarios of partners are obligated in Maaser Behema. And that gets us into really the question of how you define children who inherit their father who died, how you define the property, the different types of partnerships of children who inherit their father. Let's say the father owns, I don't know, 20 things. He dies and he has 3 kids and they haven't divided it up yet. So now really the property is the estate of the father. Now all the kids, if they haven't divided it, are partners in the estate. But it's really still the father's estate, so it's really the father's domain. But then if the kids divide up the property and then they choose to, you know, recombine, now they're just partners like any other partners. Once it was divided, it was divided. Each one had their share. Now they happen to combine. And now they're partners. So we're going to first get into this through a discussion in regards to shkalim. We have a law that every Jewish male is obligated to give a half shekel every year. Those half shekels are then collected into, brought to Yerushalayim, and they're used to fund the services of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when people give a half shekel, they would add a little coin, a kalbone, just to cover administrative costs. Now, what happens if two people together are giving a single shekel? So, normally, if two people together are partners and giving a single shekel, they would normally give two kalbones to cover the administrative costs. However, if a father dies and he has, let's say, you know, several sons, so he had to give half shekels for them plus for himself, and he died, if his property hasn't been divided up, when he gives, when the estate gives shekels, it doesn't need to give a kalbone for each child who is who a half shekel is being given on its behalf. So now, in light of these introductions, let's start the Mishnah. Ha'achin v'ashutfin. Let's say you have brothers who inherited their father, and now they're partners. Because they're now partners. So now it depends. If chayavim b'kalbon, if the type of partnership is such that they would be obligated to be adding the little coins with the half shekels. In other words, that they divided up their father's property, and then they recombined. So now they're full partners, and then Pturim Maaser Behema, then the children born to them from the partnership are exempt from Maaser Behema.
Why?
Because their partners don't have to have Maaser Behema. However, if it's a type of partnership which is still Chayavim B'Maaser Behema, in other words, they haven't divided up the father's property. Father died. He owned the flock. There are three boys. They haven't agreed how to divide it up yet. So now the whole flock belongs to all three of them. Because it's really still the estate. Since it's still the estate, so really it belongs to one domain. The three of them are part of that one domain. But since it's one domain, Pturim min HaKalbon. If that domain now is going to pay the half shekel obligations of them, there would be no need to add a kalbon for each one. They're just given one kalbon. There's just one little addition, but not for each one. So then also they'd be obligated in Maaser Behema. So now the Mishnah explains this again. Kanu mitfisas habayis. If the estate is still here, in other words, they're partners and they have a share in it because they've gotten the estate coming down to them, but they haven't divided up the estate at all. Chayavim, then they're obligated to Maaser Behema, and then they're exempt from kalbon. V'imlav, but if we don't have an estate anymore because they've already divided up the estate. And then they went back and recombined as partners, Pturin. So now what's born afterwards is considered exempt from Maaser Behema. So the reason for this Mishnah is last Mishnah. Last Mishnah taught us that an animal purchased is exempt from Maaser Behema. If we've joined up as partners, the siblings, so we're purchasing. You know, I'm purchasing his share, he's purchasing my share, we're joining. So therefore, we're exempt from Maaser Behema. The Mishnah now explains this. Chalku, if the brothers divided up the property of the father, and then Chazu v'nishtatfu, and then they go and they become partners. Chayavim b'kalbon. So now if they're giving half shekels from the partnership, we need to give a kalbon per half shekel. Upturim mi'maser behema, but we would be exempt from maser behema because we're purchasers and be no obligation of maser behema. Tanur Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a bright, the verse says, in regards to Bechor, so it says, Yiyelach, it'll be yours, veloshel shutfis, yours, but not if it belongs to partners. Maybe even the partners that have joint ownership because they all have shares in the estate, and the estate still has property, that they are also exempt. That's what the verse says, yeah, to include them. Ask the Gemara the same question we saw before. Hi, b'bechor k'siv, but this pasuk isn't said about Maaser Behema, it's said about Bechor. Answers him, einu einu l'bechor. If it can't apply to Bechor, da'isei b'shutfis, because Bechor does apply to partnerships. The k'siv, it says, v'bechoros b'karchem v'tzonchem, and the b'choros of your cattle, in the plural tense, your sheep's, Must be it's referring to Maaser Behema, and there's a pasuk to exempt Maaser Behema that's owned in or animals owned in partnership from Maaser Behema. So Rabbi Yirmiyah explained to explain the Mishnah. There are times that the partners will be obligated both in giving a cow bone per half shekel that the partnership is paying on their behalf, and they'd be obligated in Maaser Behema. There are times that the children who are partners are ptur and mizeh umizeh. They're exempt from giving a cow bone per half shekel, and they're exempt from Maaser Behema. Pa'am shechayavim b'kal bone. There are times that they're obligated in giving a cow bone per half shekel, but ptur mi'maaser behema, but they would be exempt from Maaser Behema. Upam shechayavim b'maaser behema. Then there are times that they'd be obligated in Maaser Behema, but upturin min ha'kal bone, but in terms of the half shekel law, they would be exempt from giving the kalbot. So now the Gemara explains how these work out. Chayav b'zeh b'zeh. When would the children be obligated both in Maaser Behema and in adding a kalbot per half shekel? In a case when shechalku b'ksafim, they took all the money that their father had, divided it up, and then joined again as partners. So if they joined again as partners, so now when the half shekels are given, the half shekels are given from a partnership, each one needs to give a cow bone. However, but the animals that they inherited from their father, they never divided. So since they never divided up the animals still belong to the estate. The estate is a single owner. So if the single owner is obligated to Maaser Behema, it's only partners that are exempt from Maaser Behema, but this is a single owner. All right, second case, Ptur Mizeh Mizeh, a case where they are exempt both from cow bone and exempt from Maaser Behema. Shechalku b'behema, they divided up the animals, and then they recombined. So now they're partners, so they are exempt from Maaser Behema, because it's all considered a purchase once they recombine. But they didn't divide the money at all. So since they didn't divide the money, when the money is paid on their half-shekel obligations, it's one domain, it's one estate that's paying, so he doesn't have to pay multiple cow bones. There's a case when they'd be obligated in giving the cow bone, and they're exempt from Maaser Behema. Shechalku b'zeh b'zeh. They divided up the animals and then recombined. They divided up the money and recombined. So since they divided up the animals and recombined, they are considered purchasers of the animals, and purchased animals don't have Maaser Behema. Since they divided up the money and recombined, when they pay half shekel, so it's just like multiple people paying half shekels in a single coin, each one has to give the added cow bone to cover administrative costs. And finally, the fourth case, chayavim b'maaser behema, a case where they would be obligated in maaser behema, upturim in a kal bone, and exempt from kal bone. Shelo chilku b'zeh b'zeh, they didn't divide up the animals, nor did they divide up the money, so it's all belonging to the estate. Since it belongs to the estate, it has a single owner, yilcha. So it has a single owner, there is an obligation of maaser behema, but since there's only a single owner, you don't have to give multiple administrative pennies. You only have to give one administrative penny. Pachim and a cow bone. So the Gemara says, Pshita, this is all obvious. You're just spelling out what the Mishnah said. So the Gemara explains, you're right. But one of these cases has a little bit of a chiddush. Chalku b'behema, they divide up the animals and then recombine, but they did not divide up the money. It's trichole, that is a little bit of a novelty. So Kadat Tachmina would have thought to say, since they've already divided up the animals, so that already should be considered breaking up the estate, because clearly they're going to divide up the money too. Since they're going to divide up the money, even though they haven't yet divided up the money, but when they use the money to pay shekel obligations, they should each have to give a little administrative cost. Kamashman, that's the chiddush. Since they haven't actually divided up the money still belongs to the single entity, the estate. And when the estate pays, since it's in its one entity paying, it only has to give one little coin. It doesn't have to give coins for each person that it's paying for.